Well, hello, everybody. This is Bob Elson. We're set as usual for our Saturday afternoon show. And we have an old friend today, one of the outstanding managers that I ever watched, and a wonderful guy with it, Al Lopez. So we're going to be talking baseball today with Al, who his life, well, baseball has been as much a part of his life as it's been of mine. And we both really love the game. So we have many, many things to talk about. Remember, this is a good night to go out to White Sox Park because they're having all the players back from the 59 Club, and they'll all be introduced tonight. Al will be there, and a lot of the players will be there. And then the White Sox will wind up the season at Sox Park tomorrow. So try to get out if you can. I'll be back with our guest in just a moment. We're delighted to have Al Lopez as our guest today. He and I were on the beat together for a long, long time. He was a great catcher. He was an outstanding manager. Been a wonderful friend of mine for many, many years. And as he sits here today in the lobby of Northwest Federal, he looks exactly like he looked when he was manager of the White Sox. Al, what is it? Florida do it for you or what?
Bob, I'm glad that you said that my looks are pretty good, but my stomach, I guess those 3-2 pitches with the bases loaded kind of gave me a real bad stomach, and I've got a real bad nervous stomach. That's the reason I quit managing the White Sox. No, the weather down there hasn't been real good, Bob. We've had a lot of rain in the last 2 or 3 weeks. A lot of the golf courses have been closed down, I'd say, well, in the last 2 weeks, I'd say about 10 days that we missed at our club from playing. So therefore, we have to go to the card room to play a few games of gin.
Yeah. Well, you're plenty good at that. We had a lot of fun together when we were on the trips. I saw you at Cooperstown, and you're on the Veterans Committee, the Hall of Fame Committee.
Yes, Bob. I've been at, this is my, this, that, last year was my second year in the committee.
So you helped to put Hack Wilson?
Yes. We voted on Hack Wilson. He finally got a unanimous vote. Chuck Klein was very close in the first votings. You have to vote on, they have a space for 10 people to vote that you have to put in if you want to. And besides that, you can put your own name if you want, if you have somebody in mind. It's a very fair thing. And then finally, after you decided for you have to get a certain 2/3 votes to be eligible for the thing. And after you finally decided, you know, who's going to go, they finally put it up to the committee. And with Hack, it finally turned out to be a unanimous vote for Hack Wilson. I was glad to see it because Hack was a friend of mine, played with him at Brooklyn, and a great ball player. I caught against him when he had those great years with the Cubs. He was the Cubs had some great teams in those years.
Well, what about that Rig Stevenson?
Oh, yeah, he was in Cooperstown. I don't think if you saw him this year, I don't think he was there this year, but the year before, Bob, he was there. Yeah, you were there the year before too,
yes,
Bob.
Yes, I was.
And I was telling him that, not flattering him because he's a down-to-earth guy, a very close friend of Joey Sewell. And they're both from Alabama. I think they played football together at Alabama.
Yeah.
And I told him, and I meant it too, that he was the toughest hitter on the Cubs lineup for us to try to get out. I hated to see him come up with men on bases because he was really tough to get out. And they had some great hitters. They had Kyler and Hornsby, and you know, they had a great team. Stevenson. They had a great
team. Those kind of hitters today, they wouldn't be finishing fifth.
Charlie Grimm was on first base. They had a great club in those days. I hated to come into the Cubs ballpark. Not that I didn't like the ballpark or the people, the fans, but that ball club used to murder us.
Al, while you're out of baseball now, I know that you love the game and you're a keen observer of the game and you see a game every chance you get. What about the game? How has it changed since your playing time and your managing time?
Bob, the thing that I don't say that I don't like, but I'd like to see it go back. And I think that the reason for it is I think the ball is livelier than it was in the days that we played. And we used to have to control the bat a little bit better than these hitters do now. In other words, we used to have to get a piece of the ball, hit more line drives to try to get some hits. But now, little guys that go up to the plate and they can pop that thing up in the stands because the ball and they swing. Everything is a hard swing. Strikeouts. To me, I think that's a, if I'm managing on the side that the pitcher's striking all the guys out, I like that. But if I'm managing the club that's doing all the striking out, I don't care for that. I don't think it's good for the fans because you don't see the good plays. That if you hit the ball, you know, everybody's got a chance to making a good play on a ground ball or a drive in the outfield. That you have a triple, to me, is as pretty a base hit as there is in the game.
Oh, boy. That really is
exciting. Everybody's chasing the ball, and the runner's running, and they're throwing the ball. And that, to me, that's exciting. A home run, you hit the ball up in the stands, and naturally the fans are all hepped up, and the scoreboard goes off. All that
what
stuff.
What about some of those great pitchers that you caught at Brooklyn?
Well, I caught a fellow by the name of Dazzy Vance that I'd like to see him pitching today because he was really fast and had a good hop on his fastball and had a big curveball, a great big curveball. And he used to have a lot of success in the Cubs ballpark pitching against that tough ball club.
Yeah.
And a funny thing about him, Bob, in those days, you know, they used to rub the ball up, and he didn't like to pitch a ball that was rubbed up. We played all the day games in those games. Bright, sunshiny days were the days that he liked to pitch on, and the ball is as clean as possible. If he had a dirty ball, he'd throw it away. He'd want a brand new ball. He says the glare, that the hitters couldn't see that ball with a white glare on it, and he'd missed it more. That was a funny idea about that thing.
Yeah. What about Burley Grimes?
Burley was a great pitcher. Great competitor. Tough. Real tough on the mound. That was the first pitcher that I hit against. I never had seen a spitter before. In 1928, I came up with Brooklyn. I was 19 years old, and he was the first guy that I finally had to face.
Al, how many ways are there to disguise a spitball?
Oh, there's a lot of ways, Bob. You don't even have to go to your mouth if you don't want to throw a spitball. And then some of the kids got smart. I think Whitey Ford was using it a little bit as Vaseline. They use a white, odorless petroleum jelly or whatever they call it, and you can't see it or smell it on the uniform, and they put it in different spots of the uniform, and they can get it from any place they want. And you don't need too much to make that ball slide a little bit.
Who was the guy that just in recent years they used to go out and practically undress him all the time?
Well, I think Perry with the San Francisco club. You know,
right.
And he put it on pretty good for you. He had something going for him. Even if he wasn't throwing it, he'd made the hitter think that he was throwing it. So he had something going for him. He was pretty smart.
Oh, boy. I tell you, the game. Well, this year, baseball have a record attendance again. I mean, people, no doubt about baseball being our national pastime.
There's no question about it. It's the greatest game that I know, Bob. And I've watched football, and I like football.
Me too.
Basketball I like, but to me, baseball, there's no other game that you can play every day like you can. And you go out there and sit in the stands and cheer and root and have a lot of fun. And it's a lot of fun and a great entertainment.
We've been sort of kicking it around here in the boss's office for the last hour, and I've been enjoying Al Lopez's reminiscences and getting a big kick out of it. What about a few of your recollections about some of the ball players of your time? Let's take the Wainer boys.
Well, they were both great ball players, Bob, and great hitters. And Paul had a reputation of being a pretty good drinker, and he did pretty good. There's no question about it. But he could hit. I don't care what kind of situation it was, that guy could hit. And I remember one day that we were playing in Brooklyn against the Pittsburgh club, and Lloyd Wainer was the first hitter, and Paul Wainer used to follow him. I think he was a third hitter in the lineup, and Lloyd and I were always good friends, and he made the remark, Mungo was pitching against us that day. Mungo used to be real fast as anybody that I caught, and mean with it, too, that guy. And he said, Lloyd said to me, he says, Al, tell that big guy out there pitching today that be a little careful with my brother because he hadn't had too much sleep last night. I don't think he can see too good. Well, to end up the day, he had just ended up, the first time up, he hit one right Van's ear, a line shot, and Van told me, he says, I'm going to find out if he can see. He's going to be laying on his back the next time up. And he ended up getting 4 for 4 that day, Bob. Hit 2 against the scoreboard for doubles and another single to left field. He could hit that Paul Wainer.
They were a great pair. Sure, Lloyd always, I was thinking about Nellie Fox when I think of him. They were kind of base hit hitters.
Very much alike, yeah. I think, well, Lloyd had great speed. He used to chop down a little more. Nellie was more of a line drive hitter, but Lloyd, finally the infielders got smart on Lloyd, and they just played, instead of playing like any other hitter, they used to play halfway, like if there was a man on third base with one out or nobody out.
Yeah.
And because if they played back, he would just beat it out.
What do you remember about greats like Ruth and Gary, who you and I both were so fond of, and they were so great?
Bob, I caught a lot behind Ruth and Gary in spring training most of the time because I was in the National League. But we used to train at Clearwater, and they used to, with Brooklyn, and they used to train at St. Pete. And we used to travel up north, and we used to play two ball games in New York, one in Yankee Stadium and one in Ebbets Field. I hated to see them come to Ebbets Field because that thing was short, and they could pop that thing out of that ballpark. But Ruth was I'd like to see him hitting today, you know, with his ball, because this ball, I think, this is my opinion, that I think it's livelier than it was in those days. And he used to hit the ball high and far.
That
Ruth. Gehrig was more of a line drive hitter. Didn't strike out as much as Ruth. But Ruth was a great thing for baseball. And yeah. Gehrig was a great guy. Nice,
marvelous guy.
Yeah, very nice man. When he came up with this thing that he came up with that finally killed him, I was in spring training with the Boston Bees at the time. When we trained in St. Pete where the Yankees were there. And he came up to me and he says, Al, what am I doing that I don't seem like I have any snap? I says, well, that's exactly what you look like, Lou, that you look like you're just sweeping at the ball. He did. He lost all his snap. No snap at all with his bat.
I'll never forget him. You know, Gary came from a very poor German family. He worked his way through Columbia University washing dishes. He was some kind of a man.
Real good. Real fine guy for baseball.
What about the great pitching staff that you had over at Cleveland?
Well, I think that pitching staff, Bob, is the best pitching staff I ever saw on any club in my whole entire career, because we had four great pitchers. We had Feller, Garcia, Lemon, and Wynn, and we had Art Hudeman, who was our fifth pitcher, and he won 15 games, and I think he lost five that year, which is a fine record. And in the bullpen, we had some guys that could throw flame, those guys that just come in there and fire, you know, Narleski and Mossy. And then we had Neuhauser in the bullpen. Yeah. He did a great job for us that year. He was Neuhauser. You know, his arm was bothering him. But every time I called for the bullpen to Mel Harder, my pitching coach, I'd ask him, I says, can Hal come in and take care of a couple of hitters for us? And he said to let him warm up, and he'd call you right back, Al. Well, he'd call me back, and he said, I'm all right. And I'd bring him in at a pitch to Yogi or you know, a couple of left-hand hitters, and he did a great job for us. It was great to have a pitching staff like that.
Oh, I should say. You know, they say, and I know you've heard it because you've talked to people about, they say Yogi was the best bad ball hitter ever in the majors.
Well, he and Joe Medrick, I think, were two guys. Medrick was anything up around his eyes like Yogi. Loved it. He could hit it for distance. We try to pitch both of them low, try to keep the ball on the ground, try to hold them to singles, Bob, if we could. Medrick was a great hitter, too. Yogi was, especially in Yankee Stadium, was rough.
So.
Strictly a pull hitter and hit the ball for distance. Good man. Yogi was a good catcher.
You really had a great club over there. Originally, when you were managing that club, they played in the Bradley Stadium?
No, we played at
the big one?
Yeah, we played all the time in the big one. They moved over there when Vic finally first bought the Cleveland club. I think it was around 46 or 47 that he bought the club, and they moved from League Park, they call it.
Uh-huh.
And they moved it to the big auditorium, and he had guys like Trotsky and those guys that they were used to the short fence, and they really moaned because naturally that stadium was a big ballpark to hit in. They didn't like it. Everybody on the club on the old Cleveland club used to be a right field hitter. Even Bosmick was a right hand hitter. He'd shoot for that fence in right field because he could hit it. But when they moved to a different ballpark, then you had to change your style and your ball club all the way around.
What do you recall about Bob Feller?
Bob was one of the great pitchers of all time. You know, great curveball, great fastball, good deception. He kicked that leg up high, and great. I think that Bob would have lasted a little longer if he used to, after he got through playing. He was in the Army, for one thing, the Navy, I should say.
Yeah.
For one thing, I think he missed about 4 or 5 years. But even then, I think he used to go out and pitch a lot. And during the season after that, he'd go barnstorming every season after that. I guess he made quite a lot of money. But I think he would have lasted a lot longer if he'd have rested instead of going barnstorming. Because when he went barnstorming, he was like Satchel Paige. They advertised Feller and Paige, and they both had to pitch every day, which doesn't help a pitcher.
You saw Paige at Cooperstown.
Yes. It looks great.
Yeah.
I tell you another guy that I thought was going to be a great pitcher, and it was a shame he got hurt. It was Herb Score, Bob. Really great pitcher.
What about Monty Stratton?
Monty Stratton? I didn't know Monty that well. I knew him, you know, from spring training, but I never saw him work that much, but that was a shame. But Score, to me, was like if he was my own boy, because he came up from the minor leagues from high school. We signed him at high school when I was at Cleveland Club. I recall one day when they first brought him up, and they said, he loosened up, and they said, don't wear yourself out, because Al wants to see you throw. So when I came out to see him throw, he had been throwing to Bertie Tebbets. You know, just loose.
Yeah.
And I came out and I said, Herb, you want to throw a few hard ones for me? He said, I'll be glad to. That's what I've been waiting for. So he told Tebbets, says, Mr. Tebbets, I'm going to let out a little bit. And Bertie says, wait a minute. You haven't been throwing a hard. So he said, no, not yet. He said, so he hollered for Joe Tipton to come over and catch him. Well, the first one he threw him, it went right over his head, and if it had been about 6 inches lower, he'd have hit him right between the eyes. It scared that Tipton to death, so he hollered for Hegan to come over and catch it. And he says, better be ready, Hegan, because this guy really fires. But he could really fire that Herb.
Oh, I should say so. Our guest today, and we're delighted to have him, is an old friend and one of baseball's great managers, Al Lopez. We'll be back with our guest in just a moment. Our guest today is Al Lopez. He's in town for the reunion of the 59 White Sox championship team, and we're going to have a great time out there today. So be sure to get out. All these players will be introduced, and there's going to be a ball game, and it's such a wonderful, wonderful day for it. I guess our mutual friend Ed Short, I wonder if he'll be out there today.
Bob, I talked to him this morning. He's in good health. He and his wife, Pat, they're in good health. They said to be sure and say hello to you because I told him I was going to be on with you. Yeah, he's doing all right, Ed. Nice guy. Did a good job for the White Sox. Great job.
Yes, he did. He made some pretty astute trades.
Very good deals he made. He made some great trades for us.
Al, how close do you follow the game now?
Bob, we're fortunate enough that we get the White Sox. There's a Channel 44 over there. They get the White Sox, the Red Sox. They get the Philadelphia Phillies. Their spring training camps are just right around, and the Cincinnati Reds, the four clubs that are around the Tampa Bay area. We get them down there, and it's we're fortunate. And then we used to get Monday night games, and then we used to get the game of the week on Saturday. So I watch quite a lot. We see quite a lot of baseball.
Al, you had an outstanding pitching coach. Ray Berry is a real nice guy. And what about the value of a good pitching coach to a board? Now, everybody used to say to me, they say, Lopez doesn't really need a pitching coach. He knows pitchers as well as anybody in the game. I said, well, there must be some reason he's got.
I want to say, Bob, that I was very, very lucky and very fortunate to have two great pitching coaches. I had one at Cleveland by the name of Mel Harder.
Oh, yeah.
Who was a great pitching coach, and then I was lucky enough to come up with Ray Berry, which I think is outstanding. Ray is like a golf pro that can watch your swing, and he can detect flaws in your swing, and that throwing and swinging a club is about the same. Yeah. They're both in the same category. And Ray, he could watch you throw a ball, and he could tell you by the way you delivered the ball whether the ball was going to be high or low, the way you delivered the ball. And he could correct you. If you were just being wild high, this is a thing that astonished me and surprised me that, remember the All-Star game that Palmer was pitching that the American League had the national, and he got wild high.
Wild.
One right after another, he kept throwing the ball high and he couldn't do, a great pitcher like Palmer, is a great pitcher. Couldn't do anything about straightening that thing out. Well, if Ray would have been there, and this again is my opinion, is he would have straightened that boy out and just by, Just talking to him, he would have straightened him out.
Well, that's very interesting. We had Earl Weaver here a few weeks ago.
Earl is a fine manager.
Yeah.
Does a great job. Real great job he's doing.
He's got some kind of a ball club.
Yes, sir. You can see that he's no flash in the pan because he's been up there all the time and he's changed clubs around, changed personnel, and he's still up there and winning his division. That's great.
I think they've got a good shot to go all the way.
I think so, too. They got real good balance on that ball club.
Now, what happens? You're talking about Ray Berry's in control. What happens with a guy like Nolan Ryan? He's been around the big leagues now for at least 8 years, and he gets those wild spells where he strikes out 14 and walks 12. You know, and he puts a lot of men on base and blows ball games. Why can't a guy like that really be helped?
Bob, from the little that I've seen, and I maybe shouldn't be suggesting or expressing my opinion, but from the little that I've seen, I think Ryan tries to be too careful. He tries to pitch too smart. With that kind of stuff, I would challenge the hitter more than he does. Because he can throw that ball, and he's got a good curve ball. He's got great stuff. And I think he just tries to be too careful, and he gets himself in the hole. But, with that kind of stuff, I think he ought to just challenge those hitters more. Yeah, more so than he does.
Well, because he's really got great stuff.
Yeah, I hope he's listening. Maybe he might do that, and I hope it helps him if that's the problem with him, because he's got great stuff, and he should be a 20, 22, 23, 4, 5 game winner the way he throws.
What do you remember about Neuhauser?
Neuhauser was a great pitcher and a great competitor. And, boy, to me, Hal was great on the ball club. And every time that I see him or he sees me, he couldn't be any nicer.
Yeah.
He was a great competitor. He was... a redneck on that mound, like it should be. When he's out there on that mound, he was all business. Great stuff.
Oh, great stuff is right. I enjoyed, and I'm sure you enjoyed, at Cooperstown seeing Charlie Gehringer. What a ball player.
Oh, great. Looks great. And he looks real good. You know, he looks like he could be playing right now. His weight is real good. Yeah. He stays in good shape. Clean cut kind of a guy, you know. And he could play ball. He was a great player. In the president's office, they asked me about the great second basemans, and I put him up there with Frank Frisch and Rogers Hornsby as the greatest second basemans I ever saw.
Yeah. Oh, he was really... You know, one of the sad things about today's reunion is that Nellie Fox and Sherm Lawler, two guys we both love, won't be here.
Yeah, that's a shame because they were great guys on the club. I was saying in an interview, Bob, that yesterday we had, I think, five or six guys on that 59 club that could have been named the most valuable player. You know, Nellie got it, and I don't begrudge that. I think Nellie deserved it. He was a great player for us that year, but I still think that Aparicio did a great job for us. Jim Landis came out of nowhere and did a great job for us. Yeah. Bob Shaw did a great job.
I'm glad to hear you mention Landis. He was a wonderful
player. Yeah, he's here, Bob.
Oh, he is? Yeah. Oh, boy, I love to see him.
I saw him yesterday, and I asked him about his boy because he's got a boy that's with a giant organization. He said he had a good year, and he thinks he's going to be a great player. Sherm Lawler was everybody respected Sherm on the club. Everybody looked up to Sherm. And then Early Wynn had a great year for us, won 22 or 23 ball games.
Hey, you know, just to have a laugh, and I know you'll have a laugh too. I happened to see some old films, about a week ago. Somebody is a collector. They got all the All-Star games and all the World Series. And I saw that game where Lawler's coming around third.
Yeah.
He was out by about 15.
Yeah, well, to tell you the truth, Bob, I didn't see the play myself because I was looking at I tell you who made the play was the left fielder. What's his name? That was he used to be with the Cardinals and he went for the Dodgers, left-hand hitter. I forgot his name. Anyway, he was playing left field and he faked the catch. That's what I think would fool the whole thing. He made the play tough. And besides that, the ball hit the fence and rebounded back to his hands perfectly to handle the ball. But then Tony was trying to hold Lawler up, and Smitty is nearly caught up with Lawler. So Smitty is right there at third base, so now Tony had to send Lawler up. But Lawler held up between first and second on account of thinking that what's his name? I forgot his name. The guy that played left field for the Dodgers that year. He used to be with the Cardinals. Was faking the catch that he might catch the ball. But it was a shot between the...
Is that Ferrillo?
No. He used to be with the Cardinals, Bob. Left-hand hitter. I forgot his name. He took Slaughter's place for the Cardinals.
There's a guy I think should be in the Hall of Fame. Slaughter's
a fine ball player, great player. Hustled all the time. Reminds you a little bit of Pete Rose. Or rather, Pete Rose reminds you of Slaughter. Yeah,
they. Our guest today, and we're delighted to have him, is one of my best friends in baseball, a guy that I really admired his managerial genius with the White Sox. Some years he didn't have too much to manage, but he was some baseball man, is Al Lopez. And we'll be back with our guest in just a moment. Al Lopez, in closing, I'd like to ask you about one or two of the changes. How do you see and do you like the designated hitter?
Bob, from a manager's viewpoint, I wouldn't like it because it takes a lot away from managing a ball club. Uh-huh. You know, you don't have to make the change of pinch hitting unless you have a real weak hitter on in the lineup. But it takes away from that. And a lot of things, we used to try to walk a guy sometimes to try to make the pitcher come up to make the other manager make a move.
Yeah.
It takes away from certain things.
Yeah, I can see.
The fans, I think that although the National League says that they score as many runs without the designated hitter as you do with a designated hitter, I don't know what the percentages are there. I haven't kept up with that. But if you want more runs, I think that with a designated hitter it might help.
What about the two types of turf, natural grass and AstroTurf?
I think that I'd much rather have the natural turf. The other thing, you know, you can see the ball bounce over the infield. That takes a lot. Yeah, that's bounce in the outfield too, and it makes a game look like a high school game or not. I don't want to knock high school baseball, but it makes, you know, like you're playing a bunch of kids that don't know what they're doing out there.
What do you notice and what do you hear? Because I know that you're in touch with a lot of prominent baseball people and a lot of guys who are former players. What about the attitude in the game today on the part of players? Here's a hassle going on between the former Cub manager Herman Franks and a few of the players.
I hate to see those things come up, Bob, but I don't know. I hope I'm wrong, but, you know, they talk about the attitude of players. I blame that mostly on management. I'm talking about not the manager of the club, but the way the owners have let the situation with the salaries. And, you know, and now if you don't want to be traded, you have the say-so whether you want to be traded or not. I don't think that belongs in a contract or in baseball. I don't think anybody has a right to refuse it. You know, if they want to trade you to improve your ball club, I don't think nobody has a right to refuse a trade. The owners were crazy to let a thing like that get into the contract. I don't like that at all. And also, you know, that the players, if they get money, that's more power to them.
A lot of people viewed, in our hurry here to close, him as sort of a comedian, but a lot of people like yourself viewed Casey Stengel as a great manager.
He was a great manager, a great man, a great person.
Yes, he was.
Fine man, a good friend of mine, and he was, I tell you, the Yankees were very lucky to come up with Casey Stengel when they did, because they were just about to turn over personnel when he came in there, and Casey was a great believer in playing young players, and he brought guys like Mantle and Ford and a lot of those young kids, McDougal and kids like that, put them right in the lineup, and they did a great job for him, and I don't think anybody else would have done what Casey did.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. Our guest today is Al Lopez, former manager of the White Sox and former manager in the big leagues, and a fellow who did a wonderful job, and baseball has been such a big part of his life. Al, we've enjoyed ever so much having you as a guest today. You look marvelous. That gin rummy must be. I don't want any part of you.
They're not as tough as you are, Bob. It's nice to be with you, Bob. And tell the people that you're going to introduce all the players.
Yes, I am going to introduce all the players. I hope you'll all be out of Sox Park today. We're going to have a wonderful time and see a lot of friends. We all love baseball, and we're all friends. It'll be a great day.
Sure will.
Yeah. Thanks, Al. So that's it for now, and this is Bob Elson. Sid Luckman is going to be our guest. The Great Bear quarterback will be our guest here next Saturday. Have a nice weekend, and that's it for now. This is Bob Elson saying goodbye until next Saturday at our usual time.